Let us pray. Dear Lord God, open to us the way of this new year, the way to you. Help us to follow the light you have promised in our hearts. Give us courage to go on despite the dangers, despite the uncertainties, despite the doubts. In times of ease, help us not to forget your purpose for our lives. In times of darkness, give us encouragement. When others question us, build us in our resolve to follow your path. And when others attack us, defend us with your spirit. Bring us to the joy, the hope, the peace, and the love you have promised. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Today we celebrate the last of the 12 days of Christmas. We celebrate Epiphany, the manifestation of Christ to the world, shown forth in the visit of the Magi to the Christ child. We in the West tend to tack the Epiphany onto the celebration of Christmas. But in many places in the East, Epiphany is celebrated as the biggest festival of the year. Now, that might seem a bit strange to us because we think of Christmas Day as the central day of celebration. And Christmas is the day of the incarnation, the day of Jesus' birth. But the reality is that before there was Christmas celebrated in the ancient church, the Epiphany was the main feast that was celebrated and still is celebrated in the East. And if we give it a little thought, before there was Christmas celebrated in the ancient church, the Epiphany was the main feast that was celebrated and still is celebrated in the East. If we give it a little thought, we can understand why the church fathers formed that opinion. Because the church fathers were mostly men who saw not so much the birth as being important, but that the manifestation that this child was Son of God for was for all peoples, East and West. It would be a good thing to keep this in mind as we celebrate Epiphany. Because Jesus, the Messiah, the Holy One of God, is given to all people, whether you believe in him or not, whether you serve him or pay homage to him, whether you take him into your heart or whether you ignore him, or perhaps you are yet to hear the wonders of his salvation. What is really important is that the Christ child comes for all of us, and that teaches us a great lesson about ourselves, especially when we think of wars and famines and injustice and poverty, especially when we think of our divisions and how hard it is to love the members of our own family, never mind other races and other people who have strange customs. And these people are not strangers. They're not foreigners from the East. The Magi, the three kings, and quite possibly more than three, we base that number on the fact that three gifts are brought for the Christ child. The Magi, the wise people, come from afar to pay homage to the God who has given them the Prince of Peace. There are many lovely concepts that appear in our gospel reading. You will note that there are no shepherds. In fact, there's no Joseph in what we read. There's only the central reality of God becoming man, a child and his mother. And so today we also remember in a special way that the last words of the one who died on the cross were to John, giving his own mother into the hands of his beloved disciple. Son, behold your mother. It was for these reasons that for centuries the Feast of the Epiphany was the most important celebration of the church in welcoming the Christ child into our hearts. Of course, the story is a terrific story, and everybody tells this story in a different way. As we read the various sources available to us, we find that there are many theories concerning where the Magi came from. And this is one reason that it's such a good story. It allows you to project all kinds of possibilities, even though the story itself is very simple, and Matthew makes it that way. It begins, we don't know where. All we know is that suddenly into the land of Israel, into the land of Palestine, a strange group of men come looking for the recently born king of Israel, the king of the Jews. Where did they come from? Well, we know they weren't actually kings. That's the first thing. They were magi. Magi were people who belonged in the courts of kings on the highest level. They were not only scholars who could read and write and interpret all kinds of official things for the imperial emperor or the king, whoever they happened to be serving. They were his right-hand persons. And because of that, they were respected. And they were indeed received as royal envoys wherever they went, even to places like Palestine, where they were received by Herod. But basically, they were astrologers. They studied the night skies. And today, the science of astronomy thanks these early astrologers, for they were the first ones to unlock the secrets of the stars. But also, they were probably well-read in the Jewish scriptures, because the best guess is that they probably came from Persia. And of course, Persia was the place of the Babylonian captivity. And the Magi would have known quite well that these strange Jewish people belonged and believed in only one true God. And also that one day, their one true God would send a Messiah, and he would change the world. The Magi knew this because they were scholars, and they had studied many of the written materials from many different backgrounds. And as Magi traveled, they probably became more and more certain that Palestine was where the star was leading them. And so when they came to Jerusalem, they went to Herod, not just to look for a king that was born in Palestine, but for the exact location of that king, because Palestine was a rather large territory. And it's there in Jerusalem that the plot of our stories thickens and becomes a story of two kings. Herod the Great, as king, lived in a lavish palace and was surrounded by advisors, groupies, and underlings. His domain was always growing, covering large expanses of geography from Palestine to parts of modern-day Jordan, Lebanon, and Syria. He built great infrastructures, giant fortresses, waterways, and theaters. The people of his kingdom called him Herod the Great. But the Roman authorities elsewhere in the empire simply called him the King of the Jews. But when the Magi from the east came to Herod, telling him about a star rising on the horizon and the birth of a child who was born to be King of the Jews, Matthew tells us that Herod was frightened. The truth is that he liked the title of King of the Jews himself, and he would go to great lengths to keep it. So, what will he do? Well, our text tells us that he calls together his advisors, who, after consulting among themselves, suggest that, according to the prophet Micah, the child may be found in Bethlehem. Then Herod summons the Magi and susses out from them when the star first appeared and sends them off with instructions to search for the child and bring back the information so that he too can pay homage. Of course, Herod's idea of homage is to quickly devise a plot to kill the child. He asks the Magi to go and find the baby and tell him exactly where he should go to find the child. Herod is a villain of the Bible, and also a villain of history. We know of his brutality, his bloodthirsty vengeance, his pride. But he's the type of villain that history repeats. The dictator, the warmonger, the perpetrator of genocide. We're seeing that now in the Middle East. He's also the representation of villains that our spirits battle, the sin that rivals Christ for kingship in our lives. But the Magi know nothing of the plot. Leaving Herod and Jerusalem behind, they continue to follow the star until that star stops at the house in the small hill town of Bethlehem where the child is found. There the Magi find an infant with his mother, small, vulnerable, but holding within himself the potential of God's coming reign. This, indeed, is the King of the Jews. His family call him Jesus, but the angel Gabriel, on appearing to Mary, his mother, had called him King of the Jews. The journey is complete. The Magi kneel before the child and open their treasure chests, gold, frankincense, and myrrh, gifts suitable for a king. But there is no return to Herod. The Magi are warned not to return to Jerusalem and instead find another way home. So powerful was that first vision of Christ, the incarnate God, that we celebrate on this Epiphany, that the Magi altered their entire course. Rather than go back to Herod, to the king whose power was affirmed by empire, they quietly chose another route, another direction for their lives. The Feast of Epiphany, which we celebrate today, is a day with a number of interpretations. Ultimately, it's a day when we stop and stare in wonder, gazing at the child Jesus, recognizing him as God incarnate. And also we remember the Magi, the three or more who were given a star to follow and faithfully fulfilled their role. They came from outside the faith of Yahweh, but they are proof of God's love for all of humanity, God's love for us. Epiphany is also the story of two kings. Ultimately, the Magi had a choice to make, a choice between two kings. The pressure to worship Herod, or at least submit to his authority, must have been incredible, especially when the other king of the Jews turned out to be a baby born to poor parents in an occupied region of Judea. But here is where Matthew gives us what I think is one of the most beautiful and simple verses in the entire passage. After the Magi worshiped the child Jesus and presented him with their gifts, we are told that they left for their own country by another road. My friends, our lives too are populated by competing kings, principalities, and powers. The king of wealth, of pride, of popularity, of having it all together. Like Herod, these would be rulers that sit in their palaces, and through the influence of our culture and what holds it dear, they exert pressure on us to come and worship. But not very far away, in the hill country, another king awaits in a manger. His kingship is like a breath of fresh air, an antidote to the tyranny of Herod. His kingship is one that's offered freely, lovingly, and compassionately. His reign does not control us, it liberates us. And every day, we are like the Magi, standing at a crossroad, deciding which route to take, which king to worship, and how to get home. Amen.